My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me.
Hi, everyone. I'm glad that you are here. Thanks for joining us in worship today. Now, I don't often speak to you from this pulpit, but when I do, I am eager and excited to share with you what God has put in my heart, and today is no exception. Now, before we begin, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, I pray now that you would lead me, that I may speak your message and not my own. May what's important to you come through in what I share today. And I pray also for all of us, myself included, that we would open our hearts to hear the message that you have for us and accept it and internalize it. May plant seeds that will grow and bear good fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you a tale of two churches. The buildings themselves are these towering, grandiose structures established by affluent German immigrants in the late 1800s. This is in the United States. And these churches were established under the same denomination. So you could say it was the best of times, but the seeds were planted for it to be also the worst of times. Let me explain. From the very beginning, these two churches were rivals. And not for any big reason. The reason was, one was a little bit more traditional, and the other one slightly more contemporary, trying to be relevant to the people around it. Later on, in the 20th century, another difference arose. One was a little bit more conservative, and the other one a little more liberal. Now again, they were in the same denomination, so the difference between these two were not the full spectrum. They were very narrow differences. And yet, it was enough to keep them from working with each other or collaborating in any way. So, what happened is, as the 20th century progressed and as the demographics changed in the neighborhoods where they were, attendance dwindled to the point that the churches nearly shut down. Now, these two churches were divided from each other due to conceit, and they were disconnected from their communities due to selfishness. Now I want to ask, to what extent do we as Christians do the same thing? So I want you to think about that, but in the meantime, let's look at what God has to say connected to this. Let's look first at Philippians chapter 2, from the beginning. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Okay, so here we have the call. Have the same mind, same love, and be in full accord. So, how do we do that? Now, this passage begins with what not to do, and then it gives us guidance into what to do. So let's examine this. Continuing in the Philippians passage, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. Okay, let's stop there. Selfish ambition or conceit. Do you see in there the two churches that I mentioned at the beginning? Okay, let's continue. Let's look at now what to do. But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. So, what do we have here and what to do? Look for this in the passage. Humility, consideration, service, and obedience. Now, what else are we to do? And for that, I ask that we look now at Genesis chapter 11 and at the beginning of verse 6. It says this, "And the Lord said, Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language." Okay, let's stop there. So, what else to do to have unity? Congregate and communicate. Now, what are the results of being one people and having the same love? And for that, we have the rest of this verse here in Genesis chapter 11. And it says this, "And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them." So, with unity comes great power. Let's continue. More on the results of being one people and having the same love is on John chapter 17, verse 23. And this is Jesus praying, "I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." So, when we have unity, we bear witness to the presence of Jesus and the love of God. And another result of being one people, let's look at Psalm 133. And I want you to look at the beginning and the end of the psalm. The beginning, it says this, "Look how good and how pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." And verse 3, "For there the Lord commandeth his blessing, life everlasting." So you have two things here, the good and the pleasant for this life, and then everlasting life. So now, let's continue with the rest of the story of these two churches. In 2013, a pastor was brought in to save these two dying congregations. And so, these two churches began working together, and at least one church began ministering to their Latino community, no longer a German community, Latino. That church is growing, its finances are under control, and is being filled with life and joy, meaning, purpose, and making a difference. Now, I have two questions for us. First, do we want that in our lives? Do we want to have that life full of joy, meaning, and purpose? Now, that's the easy question, because I think just about all of us here will say, yes. But the second question is this, are we ready to do the work needed to get there? And what is that work? Let's look at that. First, for unity with God. The first step, and the most important one, is to surrender our lives to Jesus. Now, whether you have never done so, or whether you have in the past, but for some reason distanced yourself from Jesus, I urge you to confess your sins to him, to repent, and to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He will not reject you, no matter what has happened in your life, no matter what you have done, no matter how long you have been away from him. He will not turn you away. For unity with God, it's also important for us to have humility, for us to confess our pride, confess our sins. And it's important also for us to let go of our own agenda, to seek God's will in our lives, not our own. For unity with God, it's also important for us to listen to God. And the first way that we listen to God is by his word, by reading the Bible. I would love for us to become lovers of God's word, to read it and meditate upon it. And this is a little saying that I have. Just as we nourish our physical bodies by eating three meals a day, if we were to nourish our spiritual bodies, our spiritual selves, by reading three chapters of the Bible a day, it doesn't have to be morning, noon, and evening, but if we do that, if we read three chapters of the Bible a day, within 1 year, you will have read the entire Bible. And if we keep doing that year after year, the Word of God will dwell within us. And that will be really important for the next few things. We also listen to God in prayer, or at least we are able to listen to God in prayer, if we are filled with His Word and are sensitive to the Holy Spirit whispering to us. And that's the other thing, the Holy Spirit. He can speak to us at any time of the day, and even at night through a dream. But again, it's important for us to know His Word, to recognize the voice of the Spirit. That voice can also come from other fellow believers. Now, not everything that a fellow Christian says to you is a message from God. But again, if we are grounded in Scripture, we will recognize the voice of Jesus as He speaks to us through one another. Another way for us to have unity with God is to obey God, to let God's Word and God's Spirit change us. And the thing is that on this side of heaven, we will need change continually, because the goal is for us to grow in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And even if you've been walking with God for 40 years, you still need change. I still need change. So that was what to do to seek unity with God. Let's look now at what to do to seek unity with other Christians. The number one thing is no divisions. And I propose the following: to ignore positions that other Christians have on political and social issues, such as, and this is just one, the death penalty. And by ignoring those things, it doesn't mean that you don't have a position on there, or that you yield to somebody else's position on there. It means that you don't let that become a barrier in your mind, in your heart, in your words or actions, in working with other fellow Christians to accomplish God's work. Another thing to ignore is minor theological debates. So for example, infant baptism. There are things like this in the Bible that are not clearly revealed and that are a legitimate source of dispute between Christians. Even so, let's not allow that to become a source of division between us. Now, while I say that, I want to issue a warning. In ignoring these things, let's not compromise on core beliefs in Christianity. By that, I mean things like Jesus being the Son of God, or Jesus being the only way to the Father, something that Jesus Himself said. Because if we seek unity with others while betraying one of these core principles in Christianity, we may gain unity, but it's no longer Christian unity, because we have forsaken the Father. We have forsaken Jesus. We have forsaken His teachings. If we go back to the story of the two churches, remember how I mentioned that one of them was growing? Well, the other one, unfortunately, is still struggling, even to this day, financially and in other ways. And what happened, this is my belief, is that that church, well, two things. One, it became non-denominational, which is not a bad thing. There are true Christian churches out there that are non-denominational. But here's the second thing. It became accepting of all faiths and all beliefs. At that point, anything is fair game. So it has even had groups come in there and do presentations that mock God, that say things like, oh, God did not create humans, humans created God. That is totally not true. And to have a church allowing such a thing in its premises just destroys any credibility that it has in preaching the gospel. So, in seeking unity, I urge you to stand firm to the core beliefs and the core items in Christianity. So, also for unity with other Christians, it's important that we congregate with God's people. You are doing this right now by being here in worship. But other opportunities for congregating with Christians are Bible studies. Now, this is a great opportunity because not only do you get to have fellowship with Christians and get to know each other, but also we get to study God's word and grow closer to God. We do both. Another opportunity is fellowship. So every Sunday after the service, we have fellowship downstairs in the Cabarna. And so as much of a priority as worship is, I urge you to also make it a priority to make time to be downstairs with God's people and grow in that unity that we need. So what else for unity with other Christians? To live out the gospel. That is, to do good, not to sin, to confess, forgive, to be humble and considerate. And I have to say that one sin that is particularly hurtful in congregations is gossip. Because one thing that we need to grow as Christians is to share our burdens, to share the struggles that we have. And some of those may be ugly. Some of those may be sinful. And so it requires vulnerability to open up on those things and get the help that we need. But what happens is this. Say a newcomer comes to our group and hears somebody share with that newcomer gossip about somebody else. Now, here's the thinking that happens in that newcomer. If he is willing to share with me some gossip about her, what's going to stop him from later sharing with somebody else gossip about me? And what happens at that point? That person closes down. They don't share the ugly stuff. And the opportunity for spiritual growth dwindles. So let us please be a people group in Christianity where gossip is a thing of the past. It's a thing that just does not happen in our midst. And there are many things like that. And we have the rest of Scripture to guide us on living in a way that pleases God. So what else to do for unity with other Christians? Well, it's important that we care about those around us, to inquire, to ask what is happening in their lives, the important things, not just what happened last week in their activities. And to listen, to really listen. And people can tell when somebody's really listening, and that's when they open up. The last thing that I have for us to grow in our unity with other Christians is to serve those around us wholeheartedly. And the reason for that is that when we go work together, we get to know each other, first and foremost. But second, our working together draws us for a common purpose. And so, I'd like to invite you, at this point, to do three things. First, to envision the call of God. Again, this is in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2. The call is this: let us be of the same mind, the same love, and in full accord. Now, envision that. What would it look like for us to be like that? To have the same mind, same love, and full accord? What would it feel like? Consider that. I also invite you to remember the promise as given in Psalm 133. And at the beginning, is that it's good and pleasant for us to have that in the here and now. And then also, the promise of everlasting life for those who are in Christ Jesus. And the third thing is I want to invite you to make the changes and do the work that is needed to achieve unity. Unity with God and unity with His people. Do this, and I assure you that your life will be so rich with meaning and purpose that if you stop to meditate about that, about the blessings that are in your life, in the life of your church and your community, tears of joy may flow from your eyes. And when you do this, then the world will know the majestic love of God. Now let's pray. Our Father and our God, I ask for the help of your Holy Spirit in remembering and applying this teaching you have given us today. Help us, Lord. We are sinful and we are forgetful. We need you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.